We have a delightful evening, I believe. We have two of our own, Richard and Kate Brooke. The Lord brought them to us a few years ago. Relatively newly married, relatively newly out of school, and we've been enjoying watching them grow as a couple and as in their ministry to the Lord. And we get to hear this evening about an opportunity the Lord's brought into their lives. And so I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Pastor. First of all, in the back, can you hear me well enough? Good. What we're going to do is hopefully encourage you. Hopefully share with you the need that is in Africa, the darkness that is in Africa, and then share with you and show you how God is working there, and how specifically how God is using this organization, Rafiki, and how God will use me and Kate, specifically in Liberia, to do his will and spread the gospel and provide for these needs. Before we really get going, let me illustrate those needs with two stories. The first story is with a young orphan in Liberia named Survivor. And they named him Survivor because they found him strapped to his mother's back in a kisapi. The mother dead on the side of the road, shot. And they brought him to the orphanage, and now he is a thriving young man. And they renamed him Benjamin. Shows you the physical need that is in Africa. The spiritual darkness. We have another young child in the orphanage who was, their father died after a long sickness. The mother was killed because they believed that she was a witch. So there is drastic physical need in Africa, and there is drastic spiritual need in Africa. But God is good, and God is working. Before we start, let's pray. God, we pray that you would take this time, that you would bless your name, that you would lift your name up. Let us know how good you are, how sovereign you are, and how you work all things for good in those who believe in you. We pray that you would be with Liberia. We pray that you would be with all of the missionaries in Africa that are faithfully preaching your word, that are faithfully teaching your word, that are letting your gospel go forth. We pray that you would be with them, that you would comfort them in hard times, that you would lift them up, that you would provide physically for them. We pray that you would be with the orphans that are there, the orphans in Rafiki, that you would grow them physically, that you would grow them spiritually. Lord, I pray that you would provide for Kate and I, that you would provide for us spiritually, that you would bring in the funds that it will take for us to go to Liberia and minister in your name. Take this time and glorify yourself. We ask all this in Christ's name. Some of you are fairly new to the church and don't know us very well. Some of y'all have been here for quite a while and know us well. So we're going to start at the basics, and we're going to start with our testimony so that you know exactly where we're coming from. I was born and raised in Zambia, Africa. I was stayed there until I was about 10. And the way that God worked in my life to call me to himself was through my family. I was raised doing devotions every evening with my dad. We would jump in our bunk beds. I had three brothers, four boys. And he would read to us. And there was one evening specifically, I remember weeping because God revealed to me how sinful I was. And I was really a good kid. I really was. My dad would laugh at that, but I really was a good kid. But he revealed that even though I was good, I was still sinful. And it took those devotions, those being raised in a Christian home, for God to call me to himself. We came back to the States. I grew up, came to Furman, graduated from Furman after meeting my lovely wife, Kate. And we got married the week after we graduated. I taught for 4 years. I taught 2 years in a middle school, teaching chorus. I taught 2 years at Dormond, teaching chorus, the high school. Then during those 4 years, God was really working in my life to call me into the ministry specifically. And after the end of those 4 years, we prayed about it, and we decided that seminary was where we needed to be, where I needed to grow, and how God was going to use himself in my life to proclaim the gospel from that point forward. So I finished up a year of seminary. I have a ways to go, but the first year is behind me. I'm going to turn it over to Kate, and we'll kind of flip-flop back and forth throughout the presentation, but Kate will give her testimony now.
Hi, I am Kate Brook, and I grew up in a Christian home as well in South Georgia and then in North Carolina. I don't have a cool story about growing up in Africa, unfortunately, but my parents were faithful, are still faithful Christians, and I grew up doing devotions every night as well. And when I was 8, my mom had the privilege of leading me to the Lord, which is, I'm so grateful for their faithful ministry in our life. Went through normal high school, went to Furman, met Richard. I had one more year left before we got married. So did all of that. I teach in a middle school now. I teach band and strings at a local middle school, Lakeview Middle School. This is my third year there. And Rick had a conversation with Richard and I last year sometime about Africa and how all three of us love Africa. And he said, well, there's a lady that I know that I want you to meet sometime. And so Richard and I started talking about that, wanting to go on a short-term mission trip to Africa, as I've never been there. And so Rick sent us in January down to Florida to meet Rosemary Jensen, who runs the Rafiki Foundation. So we went, I'm sure some of you remember that, us saying, oh, we're going for a weekend, we're going to go see what this is about, and came home instead of wanting to go for 2 weeks, wanting to go for 2 years, which my mother was not too thrilled about, but we're very thrilled about. So that's kind of how we got to here. We are going to show you a short video. It's about 10 minutes long to kind of explain what Rafiki is, how they minister, where they are, who they are, what we hope to be doing, and then we'll go specifically into what our ministry will be.
Yes. The Rafiki Foundation is a Christian nonprofit organization whose goal is to help orphaned and vulnerable children in Africa become godly contributors to their communities and the world. Established in 1985 by Rosemary Jensen and others who desired to help these children, Rafiki is now impacting the lives of literally thousands of African children. This is being done through Rafiki training villages, which include child care facilities and schools, and through the Rafiki Bible Study. Rafiki training villages are the hub of Rafiki's strategic plan. One training village has been built in each of Africa's 10 most needy countries. They include Ethiopia, Ghana, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Nigeria, Rwanda, Tanzania, Uganda, and Zambia. Each village is situated on approximately 50 acres, which will eventually accommodate more than 30 buildings per village. The Rafiki villages are operated by Rafiki overseas staff. We call them ROS, who serve alongside other national workers. The ROS are long-term missionaries who live in missionary housing at each village. They are assisted by short-term mini-missionaries who stay in the village guest house. The nucleus of a training village is the Rafiki Child Care Program, which provides complete care for up to 200 children per village. These boys and girls live in gender-specific cottages, 10 children per cottage, along with a trained national Rafiki mother. It is truly a family-like environment, as the mothers and children have devotions in their home, attend church, and eat meals together in a bright modern dining hall. When the children reach the age of 10, they advance to a Rafiki residence hall where they will live with a married couple who serve as their parents. All the children, whether in cottages or residence halls, are expected to contribute to the care of the village through regular chores around their homes and the village compound. Beginning at age 3, the children receive a modified classical Christian education in nationally accredited Rafiki schools. From preschool through the 12th grade, these students are taught from a biblical worldview through the classical framework of grammar, logic, and rhetoric. In addition, older students are taught vocational and artistic skills through the vocational arts program. This additional training equips them with marketable job skills, and it results in the creation of colorful African products which are sold through the Rafiki Exchange in Eustis, Florida. 100% of the proceeds from the sale of these products are reinvested in Rafiki's vocational arts program. Each Rafiki village also has a medical program that provides quality health care for the residents of the village. They also operate periodic community clinics staffed by volunteer medical professionals from the United States. Local pastors and Rafiki missionaries share the gospel and distribute health care information to local citizens who are waiting to see the medical team. Rafiki is always looking for medically trained professionals to participate in short-term service at the Rafiki villages. So if you are interested, please contact Rafiki at the home office. The components of a Rafiki training village: the overseas staff, the child care program, education program, and the medical program. They work together to create a vibrant community that is giving orphaned children a future filled with hope, joy, and love. The Rafiki Training Village is a working model designed for replication by African church denominations that request Rafiki's help. At present, a number of churches are receiving training for their school headmasters in the use of the Rafiki Bible Study. Like most proud parents, we'd like you to meet some of our children. Alice was just 3 years old when her parents died of AIDS. She was placed in the care of an elderly uncle who lived in a mud hut deep in the bush. When Rafiki first met Alice, she was covered with sores, suffered from malaria and malnutrition, and her feet were also covered with numerous rat bites. After she and her brother came to Rafiki, Alice remarked, We like this place. We have slept well. The rats have not bitten our feet even one night. And then there is Eric, a young man with new hope for a promising future. Eric's parents died when he was very young, forcing him and his two older brothers to subsist as yam farmers. His physical and mental development were compromised from the constant work and malnutrition. A local pastor noticed him and brought Eric to Rafiki, where he became one of the first children in the newly opened Rafiki village in Ghana. Since his arrival in 2002, Eric is a new young man. He has matured physically, spiritually, and educationally. He enjoys his studies at the Rafiki school, and one day he hopes to study agriculture at the university so he can help improve crop production for the people of Africa. Rafiki is helping change Africa one life at a time, and in some instances, three lives at a time. In March 2002, we received three sisters, triplets, Jennifer, Janet, and Joanna. The girl's mother died soon after childbirth, and the father abandoned them to social welfare. Rafiki has watched them grow from infants to toddlers and now to primary school students. These three girls have a wonderful future ahead of them, and we plan by God's grace to help them every step of the way. Alice, Eric, and the triplets represent the God-given potential available to thousands of children who are trapped in perilous circumstances. We believe that God, in His grace, is using Rafiki to rescue these precious children for His glory and for the future hope of Africa. The primary way Rafiki programs are funded is through orphan sponsorship. This is one way you can help provide a future for these children. For more information about how you can be a part of God's Word at Work, visit our website at www.rafiki-foundation.org. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
Thank you for watching. The next thing that we're going to do is walk you through exactly what we're going to be doing and how the Rafiki Foundation works. So we've put together a PowerPoint, and I promise I will not read to you slide by slide. I'm a middle school teacher. The first thing that I'd like you to notice is in the upper right-hand corner, there is a logo that is the Rafiki Foundation logo, and that is the symbol that is on their gates in every village. The saying underneath is their motto, and this is truly what they do every day, in and out, what they live for. They're taking helpless children that have absolutely no hope, most of the time even of survival, let alone eternal hope, and they're turning them into the next citizen group in their country in Africa. So they're taking children that have nothing and cannot contribute, and they're making them the next level of citizens and leaders in their country, and raising them with compassion and the gospel. Rafiki has villages in 10 countries. They're on the map, and these are the 10 most needy countries in Africa that are stable. So Rafiki does not go into a country without, first of all, being invited by the government, and secondly, without having 50 acres of land being donated to them by the government. So they work very closely with the local government and also with the local evangelical denomination to make sure that this is an investment for the country. They want to be replicated, so they want their work to go out into the country and be done over and over again. The Rafiki Training Village is where all of this takes place. There is one in Florida that they use for training, and then there is one in each of the 10 countries. They include residence halls for the older students. They will live with house parents, local house parents. There's a school there for the orphans. They get a modified Christian classical education. There's a vocational training school where they do arts, and they invite students from the community to come in. So they're trying to invest in the community and build the community economy that way. There's medical care for all of the occupants, including the missionaries. And there's also a cottage where there's a house mother that is African, recommended by the church, a strong Christian woman. And she pretty much adopts 10 children, either all boys or all girls. And there are 10 of these houses in each Rafiki village. This is what one of those house parents looks like with some of her boys. Once they get up to be in middle school, junior high, they move into the residence hall. And this is...
What they're doing is they are raising these orphans with native influences, with African mothers, and fathers in Christian homes. And you can see why Kate and I are so passionate about it, because we had that opportunity. We grew up with a mom and a dad that taught us the Bible, that taught us that God's word was the ultimate authority, and that we were raised that way. And we want other children to have that same opportunity to grow up without ever knowing a day that they did not know Christ. One way that they do that is not only through the house parents, through training up mothers and teaching them the Bible, but also teaching the children the Bible. They teach them a classical Christian education. They have the Rafiki Bible study that they do. The children do the Bible study. The workers, the cooks, the guards, all of the Rafiki staff, overseas missionaries do the Bible study. So throughout the day, as you're interacting, as you're kicking the soccer ball around with the orphans, you can talk to them about the Bible and what they learned, because you studied the exact same passage that they studied. In the school, I will be responsible for teaching the Bible. Besides the just training the orphans, they also have an opportunity to open up the school so it's not a closed school just focusing on those orphans, but they open up the school so that they bring in the community, so that the select community students will get to come in and they will be educated with these orphans. And they will have outside influences. So Rafiki is not only a separate entity, but they are also reaching into the community and making an impact on other school-aged kids. With training up these African mothers and training them to be godly parents, we also take the emphasis that we don't want to just train the orphans. We want to train the Christian churches and the Christian schools that are attached to those churches in the surrounding community to do the exact same thing that we are doing. So instead of just addition, and instead of only impacting 200 orphans that are on our campus, we're going out and we're partnering with the local denominations and bringing their headmasters into our schools and saying, this is what it could look like. And then training them and saying, this is how you run an orphanage. And this is one way that you can get the gospel to your students. We also teach the headmasters of those Christian schools to go forth, and they'll come in for a 3-day training session. They'll stay on campus for 3 days, and we'll train them, and then we'll send them out to their schools, and they will teach their teachers how to use this Bible study. We are going to go to one more slide, Kate. Sorry. We're going to be stationed in Liberia, right outside of the capital of Monrovia. Just to give you a little history about Liberia, Liberia is the country that, after slavery was outlawed in the United States and the slaves were freed, they had the opportunity to go back to Africa. And they set up the colony in Liberia and came to Liberia. And that's kind of where all of the tension came from, because There was a small population of ex-slaves that went back to Liberia. And what did they do as soon as they got to Liberia? They took the native tribes there and enslaved them. And so there's been tension there. And it's usually the ex-slaves that were the small majority that ruled. And then within the last 20 years, it's kind of come to a head. And they've been in a civil war for 14 years. During that civil war, it's estimated that 250,000 people died, leaving a population of 47% that are 15 years old or younger. Half of the population is 15 years or younger. Also, the population is estimated to be about 3.5 million. 250,000 of those are orphans. Give you, for those that are quick in math, you've already figured it out. It's 1 in 14 people. One person out of 14 people is an orphan. The life expectancy over there is 41 people. From that civil war, they came out of the civil war in 2003, and their first president, the first female president in Africa, was elected in 2006. They had, before the war, they had a thriving economy built on gold, diamonds, rubber. Some of you may know that Firestone set up a, sorry Michelin people, but Firestone set up a company in Liberia, and they were thriving. It's one of the deepest and one of the biggest seaports in Africa. They went from that to, after 14 years of civil war, to more than 700% in poverty over their national income. They're 4.9 billion in debt after the 14 years of civil war. 80% of the country is unemployed. 20% of students that could possibly go to school, only 20% of them are actually attending school. In 2000, 47% of the population was estimated illiterate, couldn't read a word. And so they've gone from that to electing a president in 2006 to becoming a stable country. This president, born and raised in Liberia, came to the United States, went to Harvard, graduated as an economist, and since 2003, the country has dropped from 700% to 200%. So they are well on their way to recovering in a very short amount of time. So what are Kate and I going to do in Liberia? Well, I already talked to you about Rafiki ministering in a physical way, taking care of the physical needs of orphans and also the spiritual need of orphans. And we're going to fit in both parts. And Kate is going to teach in the school. She's going to mainly teach music. I'm sure that they're going to ask her to teach other subjects too. And then we're going to minister in the local churches. One of the things that we do with the orphans, we actually attend church off of the compound. We don't have our own church there, so that they can be plugged into a native church and be taught by a local pastor and have Christian friends that are in the community. We will be involved in those same churches. We will be involved in teaching Sunday school in those same churches. I will be involved in teaching Bible to the orphans, but the really exciting thing about what I get to do is I'm the one that is responsible for going out into the community and getting those headmasters and bringing them back to the schools and training them up and giving them the Rafiki Bible study, which Pastor Phillips is in the loop and is writing part of that Bible study. Giving them that Bible study and training them how to use it, and then letting them go out into their schools and teach that. And then I will be responsible to go out later on and kind of check up, see if there's any questions, watch them and watch their teachers teach it, and give feedback. What is our motivation for picking up life and moving halfway across the globe and for 2 years? What would make us do that? And to tell you, I want to take you to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What we are going to do physically and what we are going to proclaim spiritually to those kids is what Kate and I have had an opportunity to partake of. We have been called of God. Christ has died on the cross for us. And many of you have had that same opportunity. And you know spiritually what it is like to be adopted. And so that's why we go forth. I'm going to turn it back over to Kate.
One reason we're so excited about this opportunity is that you get to be a part of it. And I don't know if you would like that word, get to, but we like that word. One way that we would love for you to partner with us is to pray for us. And there are some very specific things that we need prayer for and they need prayer for. So I'm going to run through this list. The first thing that we need is support, financial support. We can be excited about it and passionate about it, but until God provides the funds, we're going to be passionate and excited in Greenville, South Carolina, and not in Liberia, Africa. So if you would please pray that God would provide the support for us to go. Our goal is to be there by Christmas. The next thing is that Liberia would continue to grow as a country, that the rebuilding and the reform would continue. One of the major issues is that with a population so young, many of them were child soldiers, and so they have a really wrong mindset when it comes to justice and when it comes how to treat women and that kind of thing. So that's a whole culture that needs the gospel. If you would pray for that. Also for the orphans themselves, that they would continue to grow spiritually and physically, and that God would bring the right orphans to the Rafiki village, those that he would have grow up there. And the last is that there is a huge need in Africa. This is one tiny little spot, and we feel privileged to be called there, but that God would call others to all of the tiny little spots all over Africa. There's so many orphans there. Here is another big way that we would ask you to partner with us. We need support. We need financial support, and we believe that God is giving a call to some of you to partner with us in this way, that you have an opportunity to help send us. And so I'm going to kind of walk you through what that looks like. Everybody should have received our letter in the mail. We had several of our own aunts and uncles say, I didn't get your letter. Oh, I think I threw it out. So we know that that could have happened here too. Richard has some extras if you maybe misplaced yours or would like some. Pastor, well, we got some on this side too. So if you would just like to look at it now, we have plenty. If you know where yours is at home and you just want to look anyway, I'm going to walk you through what's in there. The first thing is a brochure about the Rafiki Foundation, so you can kind of review what they do and why. The next thing is our own letter that says who we are and where we're going and why. But you can also find that letter online. If you go to the Rafiki-Foundation.org website, you can find our name under Liberia, and it will link you to our latest newsletter that we're going to update probably every 2 to 3 months. The last way is to give financially yourself, to partner with us in that way. There is an envelope inside of our envelope, and it gives you many options that I would ask you to prayerfully consider. The first is to not do anything except turn in the envelope empty, and that will keep you on our mailing list. So if you want to continue to receive our support letters and that kind of thing, keep up with us and know what's going on. If you mail that in empty, just with your address on it, you'll stay on our mailing list. If you have prayerfully considered it and you feel led, if you would, you can give a one-time gift. There's an option on there. But also, we are seeking people to partner with us on a monthly basis to say, I'm willing to give $25 a month or, whatever, $50 a month, $100 a month. We're going to be gone for 2 years, so it will be a 2-year commitment if you're going to partner with us on a monthly basis. So there are two other logos on the screen that I would like to draw your attention to. The first is the Charity Navigator. They received a 4-star rating with an unbiased group that rates charities. That pretty much just says that the money actually goes where it's supposed to go, and they do good work with what they say they're going to do. The second one is the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They are audited every year by this organization. Their books are completely open so that you know that your money, again, goes exactly where they say it's going to go. This is a not-for-profit organization, so 100% of the proceeds go towards ministry. Any questions? Yes. Her question, I believe, was what about language, the barriers, and what's in place for that? One really good thing about Rafiki in Africa right now is that English is the language of choice for education if you want a good job. So all of the Rafiki villages are in countries that speak English, and all of the education in the Rafiki villages are done in English to prepare the students, hopefully for going to college and the jobs that they will do one day. So that won't be an issue. That's a good question.
The mothers speak the native tongue, the native language in the house, so they're really getting both. They're getting English in the schools, they're getting their native language in the house, so they're going to be bilingual off the bat.
But we don't have to be. That's the big question. I would say the $64,000 question, but it's more than that. we need, I'll break it down for you several different ways. The first thing is that we need some money up front. Richard is going to be traveling, and he's going to need a car to do that, to go across Liberia training headmasters. So there's a $15,000 fund set aside for us to buy a used car when we get there. Obviously, plane tickets and visas and inoculations and that kind of thing costs money. So there's an upfront sum that we'll need before we go. The second kind of separate sum from that is we'll need about $5,000 a month to live, and that will include insurance, that will include evacuation insurance, that will include retirement, that will include eating and gas money and salary. That will include our housing, which will be inside of the Rafiki village. So that goes a long way. That's kind of, when it boils down, it'll be about $30,000 a year in salary. So we need around $5,000 a month for 2 years, if that helps. Any other questions? Seymour has one. Good question. They actually, all of the long-term missionaries go for 2-year commitments, so we're considered a long-term missionary, which we don't take offense. They call their short-term missionaries mini missionaries, and they go for about 2 weeks at a time. In Liberia right now, there are 3 couples, I believe.
It's hard to tell. If you go to the website, each of the countries is broken down, and it lists the missionaries. You can click on each missionary's name, and it will take you to their page, and it lists all on their page, it lists all of their support and update letters so that you can actually read about them, and you can get to know the country really well and their work there and different stories of different orphans. Some, like Kenya, is one of the hubs, and so it's probably the most stacked with missionaries. I would say probably 8 families Whereas Liberia it's only been up and running since really 2006. So it's fairly new. There are, on the website, they have three families listed there. But one of the families, it says that they've moved to Ghana. So we're not sure if it's two or three.
They have, because of the 10 different villages, and three of them are relatively new, Zambia, Rwanda is just opening, they're kind of moving people around to fill the roles that they need. So we're raising support to go, and there are four other couples that are raising support at the same time we are. That will be going on the field about the same time. Any other questions?
The question was, why only 2 years? And that's a wonderful question. Part of the reason for 2 years is because I need to finish seminary. So I'm going to go over there with the objective of, while we're over there for 2 years, I'll complete 1 year of seminary. But that means that I need to come back and finish up seminary. God has placed us in seminary. He is calling me to be an ordained pastor. And so therefore, That's a need. So we need to finish that. The other reason that another side of that question is, why now? Why go over there and continue studying? And there's several parts to that question. The first part is they're in need. I was raised in Africa. I have some experience there. They are really jump-starting the Bible study program across Africa. They're just starting to train the headmasters, and they don't have, there's 8 slots right now. 2 more will be coming online as soon as those villages are up and running. And they have 1 person that is fulfilling that need. So the need is there. We are prepared and gifted for that. It is an excellent way to take what I'm learning in the classroom and through books and through lectures and put it right into practice. So it's a perfect match for us. We'd be fulfilling their need. We would use that 2 years to jumpstart the Bible study program. And then hopefully after those 2 years, the headmasters would be trained, and all it would be is a maintenance after that point. If new headmasters are hired, they would need to be trained. I hope that answers the question. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, or we'll turn over to Pastor Spears?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you would like to be a mini missionary, which is what we thought we wanted to be, you go down to Florida for a weekend and they train you and kind of walk you through what it's going to be like and what your job would be. You don't have to have any marketable skills. You don't have to have a teaching degree or anything like that. Pretty much what happens, if you're a medical professional, then they'll definitely use you in their medical clinic. But if not, if you're just a normal person like us, you get to work with the orphans in a camp. They do school year-round. So when we say year-round in the U.S., we mean 9 weeks on, 3 weeks off. When I say year-round in Africa, I mean year-round. And they take 2 weeks, maybe every 4 months off. So during those 2 weeks, because they would like to keep the activities structured, they do kind of what we would consider VBS. They do a camp, which is sports and games and music and Bible study. And many missionaries, when they come throughout the year, just plug into that. So they might be running the sports aspect, or they might be helping out with music in the classroom if they're having class. They might just be rocking babies all morning long, just whatever needs to be done. If they're looking for engineers, I know, to help with some projects and that kind of thing. So they're really open to anyone coming and using what God has gifted them with.
I think that one of the biggest prayer requests is that God would prepare us spiritually and physically to go overseas. It is not going to be an easy transition, even for a young couple that doesn't have to take kids with us. It's still going to be a difficult transition. We are going to be challenged spiritually. So we pray that you would pray for that. We also ask that you would pray that we have opportunities to share what God is doing in Africa through presentations like this, through getting together at people's houses and sharing with their friends about this, so that basically we would be able to share and that the money would come in. And probably the third prayer request would be for the staff over there that are already on, that have been working. Some of them have been in Africa for 14 years and ministering faithfully for God, that you would pray for them spiritually, that you would pray for them physically. And then the fourth would be that you would lift up the orphans, that that God would call them to himself, because that's why we're there, is to preach the good news to them, and that they would grow up knowing him and being able to go out and have a passion for their country. I think those are the four things that we'd ask you to pray for.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us as sinners, undeserving of anything that you have done for us. You have done so much for us. And we pray, Lord, as we've heard this presentation of the challenge of your work there in Africa, and particularly in Liberia, we pray, Lord, that you would be with the Brooks as they prepare to go. I pray, Lord, that you would work through your Spirit in their lives, both physically and spiritually, that you would prepare them to take on this challenge that you have given to them. We pray, Lord, that you would supply their needs. We pray for opportunities to present what they are doing. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up the funds that they need, both the one-time funds and also the continual monthly funds. Lord, you are able to do that, and we pray for that. Lord, we also pray for the staff that's there in Africa, in Liberia, and then the nine other countries, the nine other villages. We pray, Lord, that you would lift them up, that you would give them endurance, that you would overcome the attacks of Satan that are bound to be wherever the Lord is working in the lives of people. We pray, Lord, that you would support them, give them your grace as they minister to these young people. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege that is theirs of being able to work with orphans across the continent of Africa. We pray for each one of them. We know that you have provided a way for them to escape some of the deprivations, some of the physical as well as spiritual attacks that they have gone through. And we pray, Lord, that you would raise them up, teach them to love you, to know you, teach them, give them the ability to learn, to be able to learn skills and to learn to study your word and to learn more about you. Thrust them out, we pray, Lord, and prepare them to be your vehicles to reach their countrymen for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you again for this opportunity we've had of hearing how you are working. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.